السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه. وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We begin with the ayah فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. Then shaitan caused both of them to slip. The ha here, referring to the instruction of Allah Azza wa Jal, the guidance also of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some have even said the ha here, the pronoun, meaning shaitan caused them to slip from it, refers to the instruction regards to the tree, because the tree is feminine. Anyhow, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِ فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا. Then he expelled both of them, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal expelled both of them. Some ulama have even commented that shaitan caused both of them to be expelled. But the majority opinion is that it's أَخْرَجَ can refer to Allah Azza wa Jal. The only reason the other opinion even exists is because there's proximity. There's أَزَلَّ, he caused them to slip, and the same ayah أَخْرَجَ, he got them expelled. So you could put that on Iblis as well. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ, in what they used to be in. وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ. Now, you know, this is one of the things you should appreciate about Qur'an. Allah is very brief in some places, and then He takes that very brief statement and explains it in great detail in some other place. Which is why it's impossible for somebody to study only one part of Qur'an and not take the rest of Qur'an. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here, very brief language, He says He caused both of them to slip, and they both got expelled. He caused both of them to be expelled. In Surah Al-A'raf, we'll get long, explicit detail, how did He cause them to slip? How did they slip? Here Allah is brief in this matter. So in each surah, you will find sometimes Allah explains something more and something less. And in the other place, the other parts are brief and some other parts are more detailed. But the question is, why is there more detail about some aspects here? And why is there more brief discussion over there? Every surah has a central message and a central set of lessons. And the parts of the story that have to do with that surah are more given more detail. And the parts that have less to do with that surah are mentioned in brief. So in Surah Al-A'raf, we'll find more details about how they slipped. But here it's very brief mention. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. I'll repeat something I said yesterday. Here Allah Azza wa Jal makes sure we understand the waswasa of shaitan, the victim of it was both of our parents. It wasn't just Eve, it wasn't Hawa, salamun alayha. It was both of them, huma. Unlike the Christian belief that it's Eve, that is the root of all evil. Right? And then they blame her for the mishappenings in paradise. Anyhow, now when they did eat from the tree, and it caused them to be expelled from paradise, the words of Allah are, اِهْبِطُوا قُلْنَهْبِطُوا. We said, descend. But when you say to, in Arabic, when you tell two people to descend, you say ihbita, you say ah at the end. But the ayah says ihbitu, it's plural. And from this we derive that even Iblis is being addressed. Who was sent to earth, among those who were sent to earth is our father, our mother, alayhim as-salam, and also Iblis la'anahu Allah. And then we find ba'dukum li ba'din adu. Some of you, or some one group will be enemy to the other group. That's how ba'd is implied here. One group will be enemy to the other. So there are three kinds of animosity now. There's men that will have animosity towards women. Women animosity towards men. And Iblis animosity towards men. And Iblis animosity towards women. There's three kinds of animosity going on. And the main animosity will be between men and women, that is fueled by Iblis himself. And this in more modern terms, we call this the social problem. The balance in society between the role of men and the role of women is studied in sociology, right? And to this day, we haven't found a balance between these two things. On the one hand, you have male chauvinism, and on the other hand, you have extreme radical feminism. You've got these extremes. One side says men deserve everything, women deserve nothing. The other comes to the opposite extreme and says, women deserve everything, men deserve nothing. And then people try to come up with their compromises, but in the end, so long as human beings are going to try to make a compromise, it will only be unfair. And the only one who can balance the two sides is Allah Azza wa Jalla and His guidance. So you have بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ. And in the earth there will be a temporary place of rest for you. There's مُقَام and مُسْتَقَر. مُسْتَقَر is a place you take tranquility in and you find stop in and you find coolness in for a limited period of time. So Allah says the station of the earth is going to be temporary. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And utilities until a given time. And a very powerful word Allah used for dunya here, mata'. Mata'. Mata' in Arabic means a tool, like a shovel, or like a brush, or a scrape, or a sponge in a kitchen. Things you use. But mata' by definition is something you use, but you don't enjoy. It's not something meant to be enjoyed, it's something meant to be used. I don't think anybody enjoys a shovel, unless they're really into digging or something. It's not a normal thing to enjoy. Nobody enjoys, you know, things like a screwdriver or things like that, tools. You know, Al-Asma'i rahimahullah wanted to do research on this one word, mata', because it's used so many times in Quran. And the way he used to do research, he used to go to the Arab Bedouin deserts to try to find people that are using that word without asking them. So he wanted to see the word being used in its natural context. So he travels village to village and he can't find anybody using the word mata', but he doesn't want to ask. Because if he asks, according to him, he'll get an artificial definition. But if he just hears it being used naturally, he'll get the genuine definition, right? So he's waiting for him to hear this word. I mean, imagine the kind of pain that takes to find a word being used, just run into it. So he's exhausted, he sits at the bank of this pond, and this little girl is scrubbing, you know, her dishes. She's scrubbing it, and her pet goat comes, and it grabs the brush and runs away with the brush. So the girl starts crying and says, أَخَذَ مَتَاعِي. That he took the goat took my brush away. And she called the brush, the tool, you know, a mata'. And he put that in his notes, on his commentary on the word mata'. It's something you use, but it's not something to enjoy. And Allah says, in this earth, you're going to be here for a little while, you'll have a lot of things to use. But don't get caught up in them. They're supposed to be things that are in your hand, not in your heart. You know, and this is something very important for a lot of people. They have no dunya in their hand, but the entire dunya is inside their heart. So even if they have no materials, they're still materialistic. And on the other hand, you can have a person who has all the wealth in the world, but the wealth is in their hand. And it hasn't entered into their heart. If they have it one day and they don't have it the next day, their heart doesn't change. They understand it belonged to Allah like I myself belong to Allah. So Allah says about this dunya when He sends us here, He says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Until a given time, there will be things for you to utilize. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Even the sequencing of the ayah is very powerful. Then, once they were sent down, you would think, like Christian belief again, that being sent on earth is a punishment from God. That was actually an original Christian belief, mostly a Catholic belief. And in response to that belief, the Protestant belief was an opposite reaction. So they actually started believing, you know, the Catholics were, the more spiritual you want to be, the more closer you God you want to be, you have to denounce this world. You have to live in monasteries, not get married. You know, that was the Catholic tradition of higher spiritual elevation. The Protestants were a protest to that worldview. They went the exact opposite direction. You know what they said? They said the more wealth you acquire, basically, the more wealthy you are, that means God loves you even more. Right? So the more acquisitions you have in this world is a sign of how spiritual you are. Which is why you'll find even today in the biggest churches in this country, which are denominations, sub-denominations of the Protestant faith, most of them, you'll find the pastor is a multimillionaire. And they have several mansions and real estate businesses and this and that. They are extremely wealthy people and they'll get on TV. You know, like Joel Osteen and these guys. I want you to get a promotion. The Lord wants you to invest more in this stock or what. And they'll actually do that. I've actually seen them do this. Because they have actually developed a belief that the more worldly things you acquire is a proof that Allah loves you. In other words, their indication of Allah's loving or hating comes from what they have in this dunya. We know this dunya is just a test. We know that. We know some of the most beloved people to Allah had nothing. Had nothing. And some of the most hated people by Allah had everything. We know that too. So we're not deluded by this concept. But there can be Muslims who get confused by this mentality as well. We say, you know, Allah is clearly not angry at me, because obviously business is going well. So the fact that I'm continually consuming haram must not be such a big deal to Allah, because apparently my business went up this year. So I'm using that as proof to say God is happy with me. This is not a Muslim attitude originally. You know whose attitude this is? This is a Christian attitude. This is a Protestant attitude. And from their denominations comes this attitude. Anyhow, here Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, when He sent us to the earth, it's not as a punishment. And even though originally Allah is unhappy with what has occurred, and He has said harsh words, immediately the word, the opportunity to make up for what happened has come. Immediately. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ Then Adam comes, alayhi salam, into contact with words, especially from his master. It's فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ كَلِمَاتٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ is the normal sequence. But when you say مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ, it means especially from his master, he received special words. And what was the benefit of those words? فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Then his master turned back towards him. His master, Allah, accepted his repentance. Right now he's been sent on the earth, which may seem like a punishment, and immediately, here's something, here's a few words. You didn't even earn them, I'm giving them to you. And if you just sincerely recite these words, the slate is clean. Tawbah has been done. Tawbah has been done. And if you know anything about tawbah in Quran, it's a very powerful thing. Allah doesn't just forgive the sin when He accepts tawbah. He replaces, converts the bad deed into a good one. So what used to be a debit of a million bad deeds, if your tawbah is accepted, becomes a credit of a million good deeds. It's the opposite. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ This is a principle of Allah. وَلَنْ تَجْدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا So Allah gives Adam a.s. words that he can recite sincerely, and he can say sincerely to repent and ask Allah to forgive, and immediately Allah turned back towards him. Look at the beauty in this entire scene. Adam alayhi salam, according to the ayat, is not, he wasn't even the one who came up with the words that would earn him his forgiveness. Allah gave him, especially from him, those words, and as a result of those words, he gets forgiven. Can you imagine the mercy here, subhanAllah? Here are the words, if you recite them, I'll give you even more. That's what's happening here. This is the mercy of Allah. Now what are these words? Almost unanimous opinions among scholars of tafsir. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ How many of us memorized this dua when we were children even? And we've heard this all the time, but we don't know the power of this dua. This dua is enough to get you forgiven. You know, we receive instructions from Allah through a messenger. Right? And if not, and we, you and I didn't even get them through a messenger. We got them through a messenger of the messenger of the messenger of the messenger of the messenger. The Sahaba are the messengers of Allah's messenger. And they taught the next generation, then the next, then the next, then the next. And we're several generations down. We did not get instructions directly from Allah. Right? Adam alayhi salam gets instructions from who? Nobody in between. No messengers, no books, no indirect communication. Don't do this. Can you imagine if he disobeys? It's a much more serious thing, right? But even for him, these words were enough to get his tawbah accepted. Alayhi salam. These words were enough to get that accepted. So can you imagine the power of these words if they are recited sincerely? If they are recited sincerely. If it's not just something you memorized and you utter while you're thinking about what's for dinner tonight, then that's something else. But if you really mean what you're reciting, we have actually wronged ourselves. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So Allah says He gave them specially from Himself these words, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ No doubt it is He who comes back towards the one who makes tawbah over and over again. Tawwab means, is different from ta'ib. It's tawwab. The one who turns back towards you with love over and over again. Ar-Rahim, constantly merciful. The door to His mercy is always open. This ayah is so important to understand. If there is anyone among humanity that would have done something and said, you know what, I've messed up, there's no way Allah is going to forgive me now. The one who would have been that, more depressed than anybody else, would have been Adam alayhi salam. I had Jannah, I had both of our parents, right? They had everything and they lost it. And they were brought to dunya. They fell into waswas of shaitan. They would be in a position to say, there's no way Allah's going to forgive me now. There's no way. And Allah is giving them words and saying, no, I will continually accept tawbah and my mercy is constant. Rahim. Innahu huwa tawwabur rahim. These words are important for us because some of us, even though it's Ramadan, even though you're trying to do your best, back in your mind you say, man, I'm way too messed up for Allah to forgive me. I'm just trying to, kind of pull water out of the boat, but I know it's sinking anyway. You know, that's the attitude in the back of some of our minds, that I'm already far too messed up for me to be fixed. We can't have that attitude. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. His mercy is always going to be there. It's not like the mercy of any other human being. You know, for as much as a human being will love you, there's a point which will they will reach and they will say, I can no longer forgive you. I can't see your face anymore. You know, even the Messenger of Allah, رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, Allah calls him رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a mercy to all of humanity, all nations. Even he, you know, when he saw Hind after she had accepted Islam, he couldn't see her. Even though she, you know, what she did to his uncle, right? She chewed on his heart. She did that, and he remembers that grotesque memory. As merciful as he is, in the end, he's still human. He can't see it. Even though he doesn't hold a grudge against her, but he's still human. He has feelings. This was his beloved uncle, right? But Allah Azza wa Jalla, his mercy always open. Always open. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ قُلْ نَهْبِطُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. By the way, not only am I accepting your tawbah, I'm giving you an opportunity to earn Jannah again. You just came from there, I can get you a ticket back. What's the ticket back? He says, come down from it altogether. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. Then if for to any of you guidance comes, especially from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, then whoever will follow my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, then there is no fear on them. And this is a very deep statement. Maybe next time, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, I'll just talk, or maybe after the Taraweeh tonight, I'll just talk about this part of the ayah. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. It's a very deep statement. It's a very, very deep statement. One of my favorite scholars in the Arab world, Dr. Fadil Salih Hassam al-Ra'i, he's got a television show, لَمَسَاتْ بَيَانِيَ, some of the Arab brothers might know, or have seen it on Qana'at al-Shariqa. He spent 45 minutes on this ayah, this part of the ayah. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And not just on the tafsir of the ayah, he said the language of the ayah is so amazing, I was baffled by it for 2 years. 2 years I was reflecting on just these words. How come Allah said it this way? And at the end of those 2 years, his notes, he presented them in the show. I may have watched that episode maybe 30, 40 times. And after 5 minutes of taking notes, my pen drops, I just started listening. I'm blown away. I had to keep listening over and over again to finish my notes on it. SubhanAllah. But just these words that Allah gave us, I'll give you the brief, very shallow translation. Whoever follows my guidance, لا خوف عليهم, there's no fear on them, ولا هم يحزنون, and it will not be they who will be grieving. It won't be they won't be the ones who will be grieving. May Allah make us of those who follow His guidance. أمين يا رب العالمين بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.